Well, welcome. I'm so glad that you've joined us today for this webinar on the five spiritual senses. And I know that we're going to glean a lot from the Word of God today. My name is Patricia King. I'll be your instructor, and we're here at XP Ministry Studio, and we're really happy to impart the Word to you. I wanted to open with a scripture, first of all, to kind of set the message in place for you. And it's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What this scripture does is it enlightens us concerning two realms. The natural realm, or we call it the realm of time. That's what the temporal realm is, the time realm, things that are subject to time, the natural realm that we live in. But it says that there's also an unseen dimension, which is the eternal realm. Now, when Jesus Christ came into your heart, when you invited him to come into your life, he entered your spirit. His spirit entered your spirit and made you a brand new creation. And as a brand new creation, you have access to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, but also to that unseen dimension. And in your spiritual nature, or the unseen dimensional nature that you have already living within you as a born-again Christian, you have senses within that nature that correspond to your natural senses. So in your natural senses, you have vision, your seeing ability, your hearing ability, your taste, your touch or your feeling, and your smell. So those are the five senses that you have in your natural man, your physical body, that correspond to the natural realm or the temporal realm. But also in your spiritual body, you have spiritual senses that correspond to the natural ones. For example, and I think what we're going to do is just take one at a time. I'll unpack them for you one at a time, and we'll look at the Word, what the Word has to say about it, each sense, and how you can exercise each sense. And so the first one is your vision. You have the ability to see in the realm of the spirit. You'll see, even in the Old Testament, God would say, "What do you see?" Or the prophet would say, "I see," or "He saw a vision." Talking about the spiritual senses. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see that Paul used to pray a prayer for the church at Ephesus that the eyes of their understanding, or the eyes of the spirit, as some renditions say, would be open. Well, what do eyes do? Eyes see. You have the ability to see into the spirit realm. In Mark 8, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?'" And then he goes on to speak about the Word, or about the things that were done by other prophets and other men and women of God in the name of Jesus. So he's saying, do you have eyes, but you can't see? He's speaking about spiritual perception here. Definitely is. Because they were going on a trip and they didn't have any food with them, but he's speaking about bread. They're thinking, well, we forgot to bring the bread. And he wasn't talking about the natural realm. He was talking about the spiritual realm. And he says, do you have eyes that you cannot see? Can you not understand through your spiritual sight what is in that unseen dimension, what is in the faith dimension? And so he would teach you even today that you have eyes of faith that you can see through. When he gives you the Word, can you perceive that? Can you see it? Is it something that you can attach your vision to? Can you understand what his Word says? So that if there's a promise given to you that you have the ability to perceive it. You have the ability to see it. Now, as we're developing our spiritual senses, and especially our visionary senses, we need to understand how God can help us or teach us to see. What does it look like if you're seeing according to God's perspective? And one of the organs that God has built into you, because you are made in the image and the likeness of God, therefore you have his faculties, you have his abilities, and one of the organs he's given you is your imagination, or the image center. And you are made in his image and likeness, that's why he sees, he has vision, he is able to perceive things because he does, you do. And so he built in you this organ called the imagination so that you can see. And when God wants you to see things spiritually, everything that you see spiritually will flow out of that imagination. And you'll know whether it's inspired by your natural perception or inspired by God as you learn to test the waters or test the one who is speaking to you. Because there are three sources that you can receive revelation from, or three sources that can awaken your five spiritual senses. The one source of inspiration could be, of course, your own natural man with its desires, its passions, its longing. So we definitely want to get that out of the way, because as we're waiting on God and wanting to have our senses open to how he sees things, we don't want that mixed up with anything of our fallen nature or our natural nature. So we can just cast that down in the name of Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the casting down of strongholds and pulling down every high imagination or thought that is raised up against the mind of Christ or the ways of God. And so we cast those down. So you can get rid of your natural things just by saying, God, as I'm seeking you, I only want to see what you see. I don't want to get anything that's of a wrong perception of my natural nature. So I'm going to cast that down in Jesus' name. So that just kind of gets rid of the option as you're preparing. Another source could be a demonic source, a temptation that comes from the enemy that would try to put maybe an image in your mind that you know is not from God, definitely, and not from the enemy. For example, in this day and hour, many people struggle with pornographic images in their mind because they have opened up their eye gate to pornography. And as a result of that, it gets embedded in the image center, and the devil can pull that up. Now, if your eyes ever see, in the natural, ever see anything perverse, ask God to forgive you of that right away and to cleanse your mind from what you've seen. Because you want to protect your seer organ, the imagination. It wasn't created to house those kind of perverse imaginings. It was created for God, and you want to keep it set apart for him. I'm going to share a little story with you. I was at a ministry engagement one time in Florida, and after I finished the meeting late at night, I went back to my hotel room, and I went to turn on the television to watch CNN. I wanted to keep up with the news and see what was happening in the world. When I turned on the television, it came up to the menu for the hotel as to what you could do. And I just upped the channel. One channel. I just pushed it on, up one channel. And this pornographic thing came on the screen right away. And the full image of that penetrated my eye gates, went into my soul, and I couldn't flip that thing off fast enough. It was horrific. I was actually traumatized by what my eyes saw, because my eyes are set apart for the glory. I want my vision to see the glory of God. And now I had this image that was in my imagination. I was trying to flicked the channel, and I flicked it, and it went on to another channel, and then all of a sudden it came up again. I don't know what had happened, if the hotel had programmed it in. So I was traumatized twice through this television thing. I thought, what would it be like if a child had have pushed that button. It would have been horrible to have that image on the inside, especially if they did not know what to do with that image. And so I turned off the television. I asked God to cleanse my eye gate from it and to, you know, put the blood of Jesus on my imagination and to remove that image. Now, over the next couple of hours, I had to keep going back and saying, I want more cleansing, Lord, because it would come back. So every time it would come back, I didn't operate out of fear or anything. I just said, more blood on that. I wash it completely out of my system. So right now, as I'm telling it to you, I have the story in my mind, but I don't have the image there anymore because I worked on cleansing it. My image center is set apart to see the glory of God, to see and perceive the word and the promises of God. And I want my eyes open to see what God wants to reveal to me in the unseen dimension. So I want to keep my image center, the imagination set apart for God. So I don't want the enemy to put any of his stuff in there. So when I go to seek the Lord and I'm looking to perceive things in the spirit, right away I will bind him. In Jesus' name, I bind you. You don't have any place in this time with God. You cannot tempt me with anything. You can't put wrong images in my mind. I will only see what God wants me to see. Now, what I've done by taking care of those two options, and you can do this in prayer before you see, hear, touch, smell, you know, any of the five senses you can handle in the same way, is that you are refusing to accept things from your natural man, and you're refusing things from the enemy. Then the next thing you do is you ask the Lord to fill you with his spirit. I only want to see what you show me, Holy Spirit. And so I submit myself completely to you. And when you go through that simple little exercise, and it can work with all the different senses, when you go through that simple exercise, you are preparing yourself to see in the Spirit. Now, the most common way that believers see, the most common way, is through faint little impressions in the imagination, or we can call it the mind's eye. And sometimes these pictures are so faint that you actually have to chase after them to pull them back or to focus on them, because they just come and go. They are just fleeting. They fleet through the mind. I remember one time I was in a quiet time with the Lord. I like to sit with my journal or my computer so that I can write things down as I see them, so I can remember them. Because once you get an image from the Lord, you can always revisit it. The other thing I might want to just insert right now is when you're spending a time with God, you can get an image from God as you're waiting on him. You're completely focused on him. And then you think, I don't want to forget that. So you leave the vision and you type it into your computer or write it in your journal or look up the scripture that corresponds to it and underline it. Then when you finish that, you go back to where you were. You see, there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. And so when you finish writing it out, you can go back in and say, okay, show me more. And it'll be like a seamless experience. You just take up where you left off. So I'm in my devotion time and I'm waiting on the Lord, and I have this thought in my mind. It's the Spirit of God is speaking to me. And in my thought, he says, I want to take you into wisdom's chamber. And I thought, wow, well, I want to go into wisdom's chamber. So I was in agreement with God. So I'm waiting on him, saying, okay, what's next? I didn't know if he wanted to put another thought, a word in my mind, or I didn't know if, you know, he wanted to activate any of my other senses. I was open to any way that he wanted to speak. But the next thing that came by was just kind of a picture of a kitchen, actually. But it was just very faint, and it just came, and then it flew by. And at first I thought, oh, okay, I just saw a glimpse of a kitchen. What was that? And I was going to ignore it. But I thought, no, I should just grab that vision. So I just took it and focused on, say, just a minute, the kitchen, and I focused and I allowed my focus to look at it. Now remember, it's a fleeting thought. So I had to go back and find it and say, just a minute, what was that kitchen again? And I focused on that picture, and all of a sudden, the image in my mind's eye, it got stronger. And I started to see a table. I saw a sink and a counter space. And then I saw the spirit of wisdom. And if I had let that image go by and hadn't caught it and meditated on it more and focused on it more, I would have missed seeing the spirit of wisdom. Well, that was the beginning of over 3 weeks of visitation with the spirit of wisdom. But I had to grab it because it just went by so fast and it was so faint. So don't be concerned if something seems faint or if it just fleets by. Start grabbing those things and focusing on them, because you'll find that as you do, the image will get stronger and the understanding, the spirit of understanding that is one of the sevenfold dimensions of the Holy Spirit, will give you enlightenment on what your vision means. Because almost, like most often, your experiences of seeing are definitely going to be in the mind's eye. You can ask any prophet, even ones that have lots of open visions. Like I asked Bob Jones, who is in glory now, but I asked him, I said, Bob Jones, you have all these open visions, you have visitations of the Lord, you have angels show up, you get feelings and senses, you get all these magnificent things, audible voices and everything, but what is the most common way that God speaks to you? And he said, the two most common ways are just faint little thoughts in my mind and faint little images in the imagination. And he says, what I do is when God shows me those faint little things, I just grab hold of them and I believe them. And that's what strengthened his visionary gift. And so I just want to encourage you, because many of you have been actually seeing into the spirit realm, but you haven't believed it was an actual thing that you're seeing from God. Only believe. Trust him. See, if you get your natural things out of the way and the devil out of the way, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and to open that vision, he will. Ask the Lord right now, open my spiritual vision. Open my eyes to behold everything that you want to show me. And he will. But it'll most often start with just you acknowledging those faint little impressions, those faint images in the mind's eye. Okay, so the first way that you can see then is the most common way, the faint images. But then we want to share about the open vision, because that's another way that you can see in the spirit, and your spiritual eyes can behold what we call an open vision. It's where, you know, your eyes are open and you're seeing the vision in front of you. Sometimes it's even like on a computer screen, or, you know, like some, you know, Jesus just walked into the room, or some activity just is out there before you. So it's like you're here and the vision's before you and you're watching that vision. That is an open vision. Now, what I want to make clear to you is that an open vision is not more powerful in its influence, or it doesn't carry more authority than the faint little visions. It's just a different way for God to reveal things for you. It's a different way that you can see. And I know that many Christians have had a misunderstanding about this whole seer dimension, thinking, well, the faint little impressions in the mind eye, it's just like low level. But then you've got the open vision, which is the higher level. And it's not true. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that statement. Nowhere in the Bible will you see that. Visions are visions. God just has different ways of revealing things to you. They're unique. They're all wonderful. But not one way is more authoritative than another way. God was speaking to me one time. He says, Patricia, when was it, when you were raising children, when was it that you had to raise your voice and make it really, really clear, really clear sound? And I thought, well, it was when the children were far away or when they weren't listening. He said, exactly. And he says, the time that, you know, you are really close to me, you can hear just a faint whisper. And he says, if you come close to me, I can speak to you in the still small voice. I can show you the faint images and you will see them because you're that close to me. So that's just something to free you up so that you don't feel inferior because you haven't had an open vision or, you know, haven't gone into a trance or haven't gone into other ways that you can see. That those little faint images are just as powerful and just as authoritative as an open eye vision. Now, the next type of vision that you could have with your spiritual eyes is the trance vision. In the scripture, you'll see scriptures that allude to the trance. And a trance vision is when you're actually inside the vision. It's like being in a dream, but you're awake. And you can see all the different elements. You're moving inside of it. You're inside the encounter. And it's in a visionary form, but you yourself are inside of it. So that's a trance vision. Again, it's no more powerful or more authoritative than the others. It's just a different way that God can speak to you. I've had a couple of trances, and they've been fascinating when you're right inside the encounter. It's actually pleasant, but it's not more powerful, all right? Another way that God can open your vision is through dreams in the night. And oftentimes, your dreams are things that God is showing you. He opens up your spiritual vision in the night because you're at rest. Everything's at rest, and so He can speak to you easily in dream language and dream vision. He can show you things in the night, reveal things to you, give understanding and impartation through your dreams. And do you know what? Sometimes your dreams that you have aren't just God giving you a vision and not just Him giving you a message. That, by the way, usually those visions need interpretation. So you have to ask the Lord for the interpretation of what you're seeing. I'll explain that a little bit more in a few minutes. But sometimes your dreams are actually real encounters, and you're able to see through the window of your soul what you are doing in the spirit. Have you ever flown in a dream or breathed underwater or preached the gospel in a different nation or, you know, had some interaction with someone? See, oftentimes that's not just a dream. You're actually seeing through your dreams. You're seeing what you're actually doing in the realm of the spirit. Because your spirit man is sometimes on assignment without your conscious awareness being connected to that. And so dreams is a way that God connects you in your soul realm so that you can see what is happening in your spirit. Now, earlier I mentioned that when you're seeing sometimes, and this can be with all five senses in the spirit, you need to ask the Holy Spirit for interpretation, because oftentimes He'll speak or reveal things to you through images or the other senses through symbolism. And He wants you to inquire further of Him, saying, well, God, I see something, but I don't understand. Like one of the prophets saw an almond branch. What does that mean? He had to inquire of the Lord what it meant. The Lord gave him understanding. So the journey of understanding what God's revealing to you through your senses is very powerful, because it draws you closer to Him and it causes you to get out of your own understanding and lean on Him for the fullness of understanding. So I pray right now for you that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spirit are awakened. I pray that you'll have eye salve on your eyes, that even if you feel that you've been blinded and you haven't been able to see, that now you will see in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to the next spiritual sense, and that is hearing. You actually have spiritual ears, that you can hear God. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow. Now, with all the senses, you want to test the sources. Remember, we've bound the enemy. We've cast out our own thoughts and imaginings. And so it's easy to test the source of what you're hearing. Like, for example, if a thought came into your mind, and it was like, oh, why don't you go and just hate someone and at the end of it murder them? Obviously, that's not a thought from God. So you want to be able to identify God thoughts, God's words, God's ways, God's nature. And so study His nature and study His word. His nature is kind and good and loving, and He's encouraging and He's uplifting and He's patient. It's all those things. He's good. Study His nature and study His word. Because anything that you hear is going to line up with who He is and what He says. And so listen. Listen for His voice to speak to you. And again, the most common way that God will speak to you in your hearing ears will be through the still small thoughts. Just in your mind, you'll hear these thoughts, you know, a little voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. So when you're waiting on God and you're getting rid of all the options and you're asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and say, I want to hear from you, God, speak to me. I want to have encounter with you. The most common way He will speak to you is through those little thoughts. And the more you learn to act on those thoughts, the more precise you'll get in your ability and the more confidence you will have in hearing from God. And when you're first learning, don't be afraid of making mistakes. Just do your best to hear from Him. The Lord gave me a little scenario, and it's cute, actually. He said, you know, a lot of my people are really, you know, worried about not being able to hear me correctly. He said, but I know their heart, and I just love their heart. The heart that wants to pursue me. The heart that wants to hear accurately. He loves your heart. He loves your hunger. That's what He looks at. And so He said, but you know, one day, you know, a man was listening intently, wanting to hear me clearly. And he's listening. And he thought I said, I want you to get rid of your garage. And so immediately, because he was all excited about hearing God, he went out. He was going to obey no matter what the cost. And he got rid of his garage. He tore it down and had all the lumber taken away. He says, there, Lord, I obeyed you. I got rid of my garage. And God's looking at him. And he calls all the angels in heaven together and says, oh, look at him. Isn't he just so precious? He thought I said, I want you to get rid of your garage. When really I said, I want you to get rid of your grudge. Now, he was close, but not accurate enough. And sometimes in the beginning, you might get a little off. Don't be concerned and don't beat yourself up. Just know that God loves your heart, that you're pursuing Him. And you know, you test the fruit of it afterwards, and you'll be able to see if it needed more precision in hearing. But just keep moving forward. You know, just keep listening. Even if you wanted to get really precise with something. I remember a time when I was trying to hear from God precision concerning people's names. And I was working with a group of young people. We were taking them on a tour across Canada that year. And I said, you know what? I just want to step out in faith and see if I can learn people's names. Well, someone would come down the aisle of the ferry that we were on, and I thought I heard the name David or something. I said, oh, is your name David? And he said, no, you know. But don't get discouraged. Just keep trying. So we were having fun and actually made it a game throughout that summer. And we made so many mistakes at first. We just were not hitting the mark at all. But then suddenly it broke open. And for the rest of the summer, after that point, I started getting everyone's names right. And so don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to try. Like when you learned how to ride a bike, you know, you couldn't ride it perfectly at first. Or when a child learns to walk, they make a few falls at first, but then they learn the precision, the balance, the you know, ability to ride a bike well or walk well without falling or faltering. And you will learn to hear the voice of God well too. And it comes through experience. So don't be afraid of you know, thinking you heard it right, but it was a little bit off. Just ask God afterwards, saying, now how did I miss that? Tell me, what was that? Just inquire of Him. So the still small voice is the most common way that God will speak to you. That's the way He's going to speak to you often, just little thoughts in your mind. And you will learn to identify the ones that are of God. But another way that God can speak is through the audible voice. He can speak through the audible voice or audible sounds. I've heard alarms. In fact, one day I woke up from a sleep and I heard a dog barking audibly. And I knew God was trying to speak to me. And I said, Lord, what's the matter? I'm hearing this dog barking. What is it? Then He put this understanding in my mind as an interpretation. He says, dogs are very territorial. And I knew that because we had a dog at the time. And even if a bird flew across our yard, he would bark because he wanted to protect the territory. And whenever something would try to invade the territory, he would bark. And I realized right away what God was telling me. He says, there's trouble on the home front. Now, I was in Florida at the time, Pensacola, Florida, and my home was up in Canada. And I was getting a warning from the Lord that my house was in trouble, my home, my family. So I called home right away, and sure enough, there was a situation there. And God alerted me to it so that I could resolve the situation, I could look after the problem. But the way He alerted me was through my hearing, my spiritual hearing. I heard a dog bark. But remember, sometimes things need interpretation. And so He gave me the interpretation so that I could respond and bring everything into the order that He wanted so that family was safe again, hearing the audible sounds. Sometimes I've heard God speak my voice, my name, and sometimes it's been in my voice. Maybe you've experienced that too, is that you know it's God speaking to you, but you're hearing it in your voice. I don't know why God chooses that. Sometimes you can hear an angel's voice speak to you. You know it's not God. I remember having an angelic visitation one time, and I asked the angel a question, and I heard it speak. I heard its voice. It was a male voice speak back. So those are the audible sounds or the audible voices that God will release understanding to you through. So we've got the still small thoughts, and we've got the audible voices and the audible sounds that He can speak to you in. Now, let's go to taste, because that's also one of our five senses in the natural. But did you know that you have a spiritual sense of taste? It says in Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In Job 6:30, it says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? So first of all, we're being taught that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. But then also, there's a taste that you can, you know, tell when there's a discernment that's pointing to the enemy. Something perverseness. Now, you might, even after maybe a conversation with a person, have you ever used the phrase, oh, it left a bad taste in my mouth? Now, you're not talking about a natural taste. You're talking about the taste that it left in your soul or your spirit. It didn't taste good. Or you leave a really good meeting and you've been touched by the power of God, and you can say to the person next to you, wow, I've tasted of the goodness of the Lord. That was awesome. That was yum, yum. You know, it was good. And you're not talking about a natural taste or a natural pleasantness in your tongue. You're talking about in your soul. So there's a spiritual sense, the taste that you can become aware of. And if you focus on it, you'll become more aware of it. And you can start to discern good and evil through what you discern as taste. It's a spiritual taste. But also, you can actually taste things in your mouth that are spiritual. You know, your taste buds and everything can sense it, but you just know it's spiritual. I remember one time Joshua Mills was at our meeting. And the first night, it was marvelous. We had signs and wonders all weekend. But the first night, we had sapphire glitter fall on everyone. It was amazing. Goes back to his room. The next day, he's getting ready, getting all prayed up to come to the meeting. And the glory came into his hotel room. My husband goes to the room to pick him up. And there's all this oil pouring out of his hands, pouring out. And he's pouring it into the cup because there was a glass on the counter, so it's pouring in. So my husband, he just moved all the oil off his hand into the cup, but it kept coming up. Even after you took it off, it just kept coming up more and more. It was a sign and a wonder. So my husband brings Joshua down to the meeting, and my husband's holding the cup, and Joshua's oil is still pouring into the cup. By the time he got to the meeting, there was 3/4 of a cup full of oil. Now, when you smelled it, it smelled like oil, or it smelled like wine. It smelled like wine to the smell, but it was oil to the feel. So Joshua gave his message, and as he's preaching his message, more oil is pouring out of him. And he's got this altar cloth that he's standing on because his shoes started getting squishy on the inside because the oil was coming out through the bottom of the soles of his feet and soaking through his socks. So he took the shoes off and stood on this altar cloth, and the whole altar cloth got soaked with oil and the carpet under it as he's preaching. A sign and a wonder from God. You might be thinking, I've never heard anything like it. Well, if you go on xpmedia.com and look up Joshua Mills, you'll probably find the very video that was from that night. It was just amazing. So the whole carpet is getting loaded with oil. This cloth is getting loaded with oil. And so he gave the altar cloth that was soaked with oil to a person in a wheelchair, and they got a powerful touch from the Lord in their body. And then he took the cup full of oil. This is tangible oil. This is not just in the spirit. It's manifest in the natural now. A natural smell of wine coming from it. If you smelt it with your natural sense, you could smell wine. And then he went and anointed every single person in the room with it and gave a lot of us little vials of that oil. I gave mine away to a friend of mine. I just saw him the other night out in Nashville. And he says, I still have that vial of oil. It's amazing, you know. But he anointed us all with it. And then I said to him, I said, is it possible to drink this oil? Because it's come from God. Can I drink what's left, you know? And when I went to taste the oil, it tasted like soap. It was just like a soap smell. And the Lord said, this will not only heal you like the oil and the wine. It will not only heal and restore, but this oil will cleanse. And it smelled just like this beautiful soap. I remember when I was a child, I used to get what was called soap gum. It was gum that tasted kind of like soap. It was called Thrills, I think, and we loved it. And that's what it reminded me of, this taste that was soapy. And even after it was all gone, you know, because I put it on my tongue and swallowed it because I wanted, you know, if this oil was from God, I wanted it through my whole system. I swallowed it. But for a long time after that, I could taste that soapy smell, even days afterwards. In fact, I'm starting to taste it again right now, just talking about, because when you have spiritual encounter, it can return to you even at the memory of it. You can revisit it. I'm starting to taste it even right now. But it's a spiritual taste, isn't it? Even though on that day I could taste it with my natural taste buds, it was a spiritual visitation from God. That's why I can retaste it now, even though there's no oil in my mouth at all. Taste and see that the Lord is good. One time I was ministering deliverance to someone, and as I'm ministering deliverance, I get this horrible taste in my mouth. Like, I don't want to tell you, but you can guess. You know, it was this horrible taste of rotten stuff that would come out of the body. And I thought, what is going on here? And the Lord spoke to me in thoughts along with the taste. And he said, this person has an unclean spirit, and showed me through what I was tasting what this person had been doing. And I, you know, it was delicate, but I said, you know, the Lord wants to set you free, but have you done this particular thing? Because I knew exactly what to ask him because I had the taste of it in my mouth. And he burst into tears. He said, I'm so ashamed of it, but yes, I'm compelled to do that. I have a problem. And so that night, the demons were cast out of him and he was set free. But the way God gave me the discernment of it was through what I tasted. And I hope I never have to taste that taste again. It was horrible. But it was a discernment that God gave me so I could accurately minister to this man who had been suffering so long. All right, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there any iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? And then Psalm 119:103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And how many times have you just finished reading a word or having a really good devotion time and you say, oh, wow, did that ever taste good? And you don't mean you could taste it with your natural taste buds. It's mean your soul tasted of the goodness of the Word of God. Now, the Scripture says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, you can eat or be sustained by the Word of God. We know that Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, they got fed manna from heaven, and it tasted good. That heavenly food tasted good. Amen? And so the word that goes into your soul will taste good to your soul. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You know, when you are in the presence of the Lord, and through being in his presence, you bear much fruit, and you look at the fruit around you, it just tastes good to your soul. And sometimes you can actually have like a taste in your mouth of the goodness of that fruit. And so, taste. Okay, John 8:52. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. And so there's actually a tasting of realms. I would call it an experience of the realm. Have you ever said, well, I tasted the distress, or I tasted death, or I tasted infirmity. It's not that you're tasting it in your mouth, but your soul is tasting the influence and it grieves your spirit. So that's another way that we can refer to the tasting. We talked earlier about being in a meeting where you think, oh, that tasted so good. That was the presence of the Lord. Oh, it tasted so good. The word, it tasted so good. And that would be contrary to a time when you might be maybe somewhere where there's, you know, been conflicts or discussions going back and forth, and it left a bitter taste in your mouth. And you left the meeting thinking, oh, I just got a bitter taste on that one. And you've probably even used that phrase before. Oh, I had a bitter taste. And so, taste. And you can, again, like all the other senses, you can ask God to enhance your taste in the Spirit so that you can taste more in the realm of the Spirit. Even tasting the Word. Ask God, because when I was on a retreat over in Sri Lanka, I had an angel come to me and press food into my mouth. And I'd been studying about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so I was practicing eating the word, saying, oh God, this tastes good. I want to taste the flavor of this word. I want it to be like honey in my mouth. And as you ask the Lord for that, he will actually give you taste. It's like taste in your spiritual sense, I think, is the best way to describe it. But you can open it up by asking the Lord to help you become more aware. Remember that whatever you focus on, you will empower. Okay, let's talk about the fourth sense. This one is touch. And touch or feeling, like I can touch this chair, and as a result of that, I can feel the texture of the leather of this chair. I can touch the paper of my notes and feel the texture of the paper. If you can touch a soft substance and squish it, you can, you know, feel the different elements of what you're touching. Well, in the spirit, you can experience touch as well. And most of the time, it comes from a feeling or a sense or what I refer to as a body impression. In the Bible, it says Jesus was touched by our infirmities, you know, so it was like he felt them. He was aware of them. He was able to know how we felt or what it felt to go through that because he was touched by it. In Daniel 10, verse 18, it says, "Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." So he actually felt the touch of the angel. When I had that angel come to me to put food in my mouth, I actually felt the touch of that food going into my mouth, being pushed into my mouth, and it entered my body. I felt it. You know, you can actually feel it. You can feel the touch of things in the spirit. Maybe sometimes you've even felt a wind go by you. I felt spirit winds, like they're angels going by, and I could feel the wind on my face. I've been in spiritual encounters where I've actually felt the touch of the seat underneath me. When I was on a chariot ride one time, I actually felt in the spirit, like a physical touch of the seat underneath me. I felt the wind go by. The wind touched my skin, and I could sense it. I knew it. It's like spiritual touch. Jeremiah 1:9 says, "Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" When I shared with you about the angel that came to me, that's what happened to me. His words were put inside my mouth, went inside my being. And I felt it because I was touched by it. In Matthew 8:15, "And he touched her hand," this is Jesus touching her hand, "and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." And so she would have felt the touch. He was able to touch. Now, here's another twist on it, is that when you touch someone, it says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you lay hands on someone, because the scripture says so, what are you doing? You are touching them. Now, there is no healing virtue in your physical touch. Not really. But in your spirit man has a spirit head, a spirit neck, a spirit arms, a spirit hands. Inside your physical hand is your spirit hand. So I can lay my hand on someone to bring healing to them. And that healing power that's in my spirit will go in them because I'm touching them with the power of the Spirit, with the Spirit of God that is within me. I'm releasing that touch on the inside, you know, that the spiritual touch, and it's going inside of them to bring healing. And even in the world, you know, they have therapeutic touch. What they're actually doing is releasing in the realm of the spirit, although the source isn't from God necessarily, but they're releasing a spiritual touch that they are believing is going to bring healing. But outside of Jesus, we cannot function in the realm of the spirit legally. We cannot do that legally. And so we need to only be in Jesus. Only in Jesus can we do that. Touch. Matthew 14, verse 36. "And he besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Now, here they were touching the hem of his garment, and virtue was coming out. So they were actually receiving through touch, But they were actually reaching out to touch in the spirit, and through that touch, they were receiving spiritual virtue. You know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, how she pressed in through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment and pulled the virtue. So there's nothing virtuous about the garment itself, but in the spirit, through touch, they were pulling out of the spirit realm. Well, God's saying that you can touch the things in the heavenly dimension. As a new creation, you have access through the blood of Jesus into the heavenly dimension. You can have encounters. We teach this in the Glory School. You can have encounters in that heavenly dimension and touch things there and bring them back. You can receive things in that heavenly dimension and pull them back. You can obtain grace and mercy and patience and receive things in the spirit and bring them back because you've touched them in the realm of the spirit. You've laid hold of them in the realm of the spirit. In Isaiah 6:7, it says, "He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips." This is where Isaiah was having the seraphim were touching his lips with the coals from the fiery altar, and he felt the touch of it. He could feel it in him. "And your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." So through the touch of that and the sense of that, there was iniquity taken away. That's in the spirit, you see, not in the natural. It's spiritual touch, spiritual senses. In Jeremiah 4:18, it says, "Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is your evil." How bitter, how it has touched your heart. And so things can touch our heart, or we can sense them in our heart. In John 11:33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled." So he was moved or touched within his spirit. And in Matthew 20:34, it says, "Moved with compassion," or touched with compassion, Jesus then touched her eyes. He took what he was touched with within, and then in the natural, went and put his hands on her eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. You see, he's operating in two realms there simultaneously. He was operating in the spirit realm, you know, with the touch that moved him, and then physically, he touched the eyes and released from the spirit what would give her sight. All right? So, touching. Now, I want to just explain a little bit about the way that you can discern. Sometimes God will allow you to actually feel what another person is feeling. You're touched by what they're feeling. In fact, some people are really sensitive to this. They can walk into a room. In fact, some of you that are watching this, you might say, "Whoa, that's me," because you walk into a room and all of a sudden your soul is touched by everything that is going on in people's lives. You can feel their pain. You can feel their joy. You can feel their depression. You're sensing it. You're touched by it. And this is actually, this whole feeler dimension is being oiled by God right now. It's being favored by God. But you have to learn how to separate yourself, or you could be a basket case. You walk into a room and it's like, "Woo, that's all I can feel." You've got to learn to separate that out so that, you know, okay, well, I am sensing that. I'm feeling this. I'm touching, you know, in the spirit. I'm being touched by their feelings. I'm being touched by what's going on in their life. Even sometimes if a person has a migraine headache, all of a sudden you can feel it in your body. It's like a body impression. You know you didn't have a migraine headache when you walked in the room, but you're sensing it for someone else. You're being touched by their infirmity. So when you learn how to separate that, then you can then minister to it directly. You can minister to it powerfully. Thank you, Shirley. I don't have any timer, so I'm not sure how much time I have. Thank you. Is that how much time I have left? Okay, that's how much time I have left. We're going to get to some questions because I know that a lot of you are sending in questions. By the way, just email questions@xpmedia.com. We can't guarantee that we can answer them all, but some have come into us already, and we'll be answering as many as we can. So questions@xpmedia.com, and we'll go into answering those questions in just a few moments. All right, so that's the touch. I better move on because our time is moving along. The next one is smell. In the natural, you have the ability to smell. But in the spirit, you can smell as well. In Philippians 4:18, it says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of the, this guy's name, I can't pronounce it, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And so there was this fragrance that Paul was sensing in his soul that he knew was the fragrance of God. It had a sweet smell upon their gift that wasn't a natural smell. It was part of his spiritual sense. In Song of Songs 1, verse 12, it says, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." Now, I want to share a testimony with you because I was in a revival meeting one time and worship was going on, and all of a sudden, we could start to smell these different fragrances. And they were just going throughout the room. Like it was like this incense or something that was just beautiful and sweet. And it would change kind of from one thing to another. And the speaker that was leading the meeting could tell that something was happening because we turned to each other like, "Do you smell that?" You know? And there was this beautiful, beautiful smell. So the speaker said, "Okay, how many of you are smelling this sweet smell of incense right now?" And so we were all putting up our hands, you know, if we were smelling it. And what was interesting was when the hands went up, there was like this pattern in the room, and there was about 500 people in the room, but the pattern of hands that went up, it went like this in a curve, like that, all the way around the room like that, in the pattern when the hands went up. And the scripture that came to us was this, how here's the king, and he's walking through, and there's a scripture in Song of Songs that talks about, and this fragrance that's in the fold of his garments. And it was almost like Jesus himself was walking through this room, and inside the folds of his garment was this fragrance that was so beautiful. But it was a spiritual scent, but we could smell it almost like with our natural senses. It was so, so clear and so strong. And we were so excited about it because we knew Jesus was in the room. He was right in the room with us. And we could tell he was walking through, and our faith level went up. And as our faith level went up, there was more manifestations of the Spirit. It was just awesome. In Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon." And so again, you know, speaking of the garments, and you know, and how the fragrance can go through, and we've smelt those fragrances. Celia, if I could have you just turn that around so I can just see it. That's helpful. Thank you. Just leave it like that. Okay, so I've just got another couple of minutes to finish up here. I'm going to share a couple of testimonies. Then we'll go into the questions again. Write questions@xpmedia.com. If you have a question, we'll try to get those answered for you. And we'll just see what God does. But I wanted to give you some more examples of fragrance. So let me give you the good ones first, because we've been in meetings or even in my home where there's been the fragrance of like roses, and it'll come so strong. There's not a rose in the house. There's not a rose in the house. But the smell of roses all of a sudden fills the house. Now that's not a natural scent. It's in the spirit you're smelling it. But it's almost like you're smelling it in in the natural because it's so real. We've had orange blossoms. We've had vanilla. We've had frankincense smell. All different kinds of beautiful, sweet, amazing, you know, smells of different types of incense and that. It's just beautiful when there wasn't anything in the natural that would bring it. You see, we live in the natural realm, but overlaying the natural realm, there is a spirit realm that overlays it all. And as a believer, I can live in two realms at the same time. I can experience both realms, the seen dimension and the unseen dimension. So I can smell the fragrances of the heavenly dimension at the same time I'm living in the natural realm. And as you draw close to Jesus, sometimes in your devotion times, you will hear, you know, hear the Lord's voice or see things in the spirit, or you'll be touched by things. You'll be able to maybe feel an angel touching you, or you'll feel the wind going by you, all kinds of different sense awareness. And at times you can even taste and smell and just know that He is there. We've had even the smell of fire oftentimes. We'll smell smoke, but there's not a fire to be found. One time we were in a meeting where the whole building filled up with this smell of smoke. And it was called Wind and Fire was the name of the conference. And the janitor of the building just ran through the whole building to try to find where the fire was. There wasn't a fire to be found. The fire alarm had even gone off, but there wasn't a fire anywhere. It's the fire of the Spirit. We were all smelling it, just this strong scent of fire smell. One time I was ministering to someone, and the room was just a normal room. There was no particular odor in it at all, good or bad. And I started ministering to this person, and I started smelling marijuana, like as if someone was in the room smoking it. I thought, whew, what is that? And the Lord said, that young man that you're laying hands on right now, he is dependent on marijuana. So I just asked him, I said, do you smoke marijuana a lot? And he looked at me and said, how did you know? And I said, well, the Lord knows. He's got your number. Now, this was a Christian. He was going to church. He was involved in the youth group and everything. He didn't think anyone knew, but God knew. And so we addressed that issue and had prayer for him. And he manifested a spirit, you know, a demon spirit. It got cast out of him. And then he was pastored through this whole dependency that he had had on marijuana. And let me say this, whether it's legal or not, it's not good for you. It alters behavior. It causes all kinds of problems. I could tell you story after story of people who had just lost their sharpness in their mind, you know, alterations in their brain functions. I don't care what anyone tells you. It is bad for you. So if you smoke it, stop it. Okay? Another one that I've had fairly often is this smell of cancer. Because I worked in a hospital, I became very familiar with the smell of cancer. It has this unique smell. I hate it. I nursed many cancer patients, so I'm very familiar with that smell. And sometimes when I'm laying hands on a person, that smell will come. It wasn't there before I laid hands on them, but then all of a sudden it comes, and I know when I smell that smell that they are fighting cancer, and I know where to put my faith. But you have to be careful as to how you would explain that. Like, you wouldn't just say, oh, do you have cancer, because I'm getting that from the Lord that you do, because they might not even know, right? They might not know, so you don't want to put fear in them. You don't want to disturb them, but you can just, you know, pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak health and divine health into their body, and I come against any cell in their body that is offensive to the body. I come against any cell in their body that is not being fruitful in holiness and not feeding them properly. And you can go around it that way, and then maybe get a chance to talk to them afterwards to find out if they know anything. Because if they do, you can confirm it and then go after it together in agreement. But use wisdom when you get senses that are negative, or even if it's a word that you're getting from something that you see or something that you you're hearing in the spirit or something that you're feeling in the spirit, something that you're tasting, if it's of a negative nature, use a lot of wisdom on how you would open that up to the person that you're ministering to. So I want to pray for you right now to have all these senses opened up, every single one of them opened up to you, and so that you'll be able to walk in the realm of the spirit and in the realm of the natural, both being aware of who you are in both realms and what God has for you in both realms. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release over your people your anointing, that they would have these senses just heightened, that they would become aware of them, that they would be anointed in their lives. Lord, that they would begin to smell the fragrances of glory, the spiritual senses of smell, the spiritual senses of taste, of the touch, of the feelings, of hearing, of seeing, that every single one of them would be awakened in your people, in Jesus' name. You know, when the word is preached, the Lord always confirms with signs following. So get ready to have these senses opened up within your life. Now we're going on to questions, and I just want to say, and I'll probably remind you again at the end, you know, we host webinars every single month on xpmedia.com. And so you can sign up for them every single month if you want. Sometimes we do even up to 3 a month because we want to get the word out to you. The other thing that we do is we archive them, and so that you can watch them after. So if you're a premium subscriber to xpmedia.com, you can watch the webinars live, or you can watch them on the archive versions. In fact, all of the webinars we've ever done, if you're a premium subscriber, you have access to every single one of them. And if you become a premium subscriber, it's only $9.99 a month. That's all. You know, and it helps promote Christian media worldwide. So it's win-win. It's less expensive than signing up for a regular webinar, because you would pay $20 for each one. But if you are a premium subscriber, they're free in your subscription. You get them for free. So you pay $9.99, you get lots of different benefits. Every single month you get all these wonderful benefits, and you feed your spirit, but also it helps monetize Christian media. xpmedia.com is not a ministry. It is a 501c3. It is a business. XP Ministries is a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. But xpmedia.com is a private corporation that is built by Christians, where we had a vision to be able to distribute Christian media. But it costs a lot of money to run xpmedia.com. Any media network costs a lot of money, and we try to do it. We sacrifice our time, we sacrifice everything to bring it to you. One of the ways that you can support it and bless yourself along with it is to become a premium subscriber. If you are not a premium subscriber right now, I highly recommend that you become one. Sign up as a premium subscriber, get all the benefits, and one of the benefits that you get are these monthly webinars and access to all the archives. And so we would love for you to have that benefit. Okay, on to the questions, and we'll do as many as we can. It says, I hear people say things like, God told me to do such and such. It sounds like they are having a conversation. Can you explain? Well, yes, actually, we should have such a relationship with God that we can have that relational connection with Him, that we speak to Him and He speaks to us. And so sometimes during our conversations with God, He will speak instruction or direction to us to go do things. And so you want to respond to that. So God can tell you to do such and such. May I just comment on this, though? Make sure it's God telling you to do it. And so I would highly recommend, you know, doing what we did in the very beginning of the program, is cast down your own imaginations, your desires, things that come from your any part of your natural nature, carnal nature. Just cast that down, bind the enemy, and submit yourself to the Spirit of God. And then when you receive things, weigh and test it against the Word of God and make sure it lines up with the Scripture. It's not contrary to the Scripture. And also, if it is truly from God, it will bear fruit. I have a little bit of a struggle with people say, God told me to do something. It has no good fruit whatsoever. It's all bad fruit. Doesn't even turn out right, or, you know, it doesn't even confirm, like I've had people say, on such and such a day, there's going to be an earthquake. God told me to do this, and he told me to tell you to move out of the area. And if that day comes and there's no earthquake, then you better take responsibility for that word. There needs to be some kind of responsibility taken. Someone, you know, told me that a prophet told them, he said, God told me to tell you that, on such and such a date, the economy of the United States is going to be such that the dollar is going to go down so many points. Well, that day came and went, and the dollar didn't do that at all. It's not okay just to leave that unanswered. What went wrong there? You obviously did not hear from God, and so you need to make that right. And I feel if we would have integrity with our prophetic words, or with what we hear God telling us to do, if we would have integrity with it, we would be able to hear with more precision. Because the moment you leave something and just make an excuse for it, well, yeah, I heard God, but it didn't turn out, or I heard God and this happened and it became such a mess, but you know, I really heard God. I know that he told me to do it. If you don't have integrity, you're just going to remain in a deceptive place within your heart, because something is amiss. So just have integrity. Make it right. The more you do, the more you will move with great precision. Okay, is it possible to practice the spiritual senses? And how would they be activated, like taste, smell, and touch? That's awesome. I love this question. It is possible to activate any sense at all, just by waiting on the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to experience taste. For an example, I want to taste and see that you are good. And then maybe activate it by reading a scriptural blessing and saying, Lord, I want this blessing of scripture, this scripture promise. I want this to touch my heart. I want to be touched with your love through this. I want to be touched by the blessing and practice, you know, just feeling the blessing. And I want to taste and see that this is so good. I want to taste it. Can I experience the taste? And just by faith, reach out to receive. You know, and at first, maybe it'll just be something dull, or it'll be through a thought that you actually taste it and say, tastes sweet like honey. Tastes sweet like honey. And just, you know, go through, like, even responding prophetically to it. I'm going to eat this word. Oh, it tastes like honey in my mouth. It's going down into my system. It's feeding my system. And just walk it through like that. That's a great way to activate. Or even position yourself to smell the fragrance of the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm in my devotion time with you. I want to smell your fragrance. I want to smell, you know, the apples or the goodness of the fruit of what you bring to me. And just reach out in faith to receive. That's how you can activate. Just put your faith out there. Get ready to receive. Here's another question. It says in the word to capture all thoughts. How do I apply that when I'm asking to hear from God? That's a good question. These are awesome questions. All right, so we want to capture the negative thoughts, right, so that we can cast them down. But if we're capturing a God thought, what would we want to do with that? We don't want to cast it down. We want to cleave to it. We want to meditate on it. We want to capture that thought, and we want to savor it. We want to think upon it. We want to mull over it, ponder it in our heart, because that way that thought will go deep into our life. On the thoughts that are negative or of the flesh, we cast them down in Jesus' name. Okay. This question is on taste and sense. If someone shares with you about an experience they had of taste, can another person experience it too, secondhand or as a byproduct? For example, Joshua Mills' oil story. When you shared about the oil tasting like soap, I was tasting it too. Was this my imagination? Well, first of all, your imagination is a spiritual organ. So when you hear someone describe something, for example, let's say they describe your vision, it is possible at the very same time that they are describing it that you are feeling the or seeing the impact of that in your imagination. That is, your spirit was activated to see that. You are connected to the vision in the spirit and you're able to see it. The same is with taste and smell and touch. As people share the testimony, you know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when you share the testimony of Jesus, it enables Jesus to do it again and again and again. So people that hear it then can be empowered by it and experience it also. Next question. To acknowledge a vision or a faint impression, do I have to speak it out to get more clarity or more of them? Well, you don't have to speak it out necessarily, but always speaking out clarifies it more. I love to speak it out. Even in my personal time with God, if He reveals something to me, I like to write it down. I like to read it out. I like to speak it out because it's like almost like putting a nail in a board. You just keep hammering it in. There's something about proclaiming it that releases it into enlargement or more definition. So that's something that can really help you. And also, when you speak something out, you take ownership of it. It's like receiving it and taking ownership of it when you're speaking it out. And the more you share that testimony, the more it'll activate that particular sense inside. Okay, next. How can we develop our five spiritual senses to the things of God and know that they are from God and not ourselves or the enemy? Well, you will grow in exercising the senses. Just like I shared the situation where, you know, the man thought God said, get rid of his garage when he was saying, get rid of your grudge. Okay, it was close, but not precise. So you might grow in precision, but when you are trying to receive from God and you have prepared yourself with three things. Number one, cast down your own thoughts, imaginations, things that come from your natural nature. Cast it down. Say, I don't want to hear the voice of a stranger. I will not hear. I'm casting it down. Now, when you pray the prayer, believe that is done. Don't pray with a double-minded standard saying, okay, I prayed it, but maybe I'll still hear from the natural mind. When you pray that prayer, believe that it is done, and now your natural mind cannot invade your thoughts, okay? Just believe it. You have to trust God and believe. And then when you're binding the enemy from having interference, bind him in Jesus' name and render him powerless and ineffective. But when you do, believe that is done. So now, completely you believe that your own natural thoughts are out of the way, the devil's thoughts are out of the way, and you have prayed now for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you to overflowing. He is invited now to speak to you and to use your senses to draw you closer to God. Right? So as you commit yourself to Him and believe that He will do it, you say, a voice of a stranger I will not hear, but I will follow you anywhere, Holy Spirit. When you make those decrees, believe that is exactly where you're going to be. Now, the Bible says, if you doubt, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you don't believe that you've done it and then say, yeah, but that was probably me and that was probably this, that was probably that, you know, because now you never did believe what you prayed. You didn't receive anything from the Lord that you were going to receive from Him because you doubted it all the way. You must pray in faith to prepare yourself. So as now you're in the presence of God, you don't say, oh, maybe that's just me. Oh, maybe that's the devil. Oh, maybe that's this. Don't even let your mind go there. That is illegal now. Can't go there. So if you get a thought, check it out, of course. Okay, God, is that according to your nature? Is it in line with your word? Oh God, you're speaking to me. This is awesome, right? And so you just believe that it's God speaking and you confirm it with his nature and his word, and you just thank him for it and you lean into the more. But just believe that he is speaking to you. And that is how you can know of a surety that you're hearing, because your faith is the substance of what you hope for. It is the evidence of what you cannot see in the realm of the natural. Okay, next. The word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But how do you taste in the spiritual sense? Well, as I shared earlier, there can actually be tastes that come into your natural senses that you actually can taste, like I did the soap. You know, it was like in the natural, I could taste it. But as I said earlier, also it says, you know, I had a good taste, you know, like that was good. It tasted good. Like if you have a really good devotion time and your soul has feasted on the goodness of the Lord, you can say, oh, I've tasted of the Lord. That was a great devotion time. I just tasted of his goodness, because it leaves a good taste in your heart. Or, for example, if you were in a meeting where there's lots of conflict and stuff going on, you say, oh, I got a bitter taste in my mouth about that meeting. You're not talking about literal taste in your taste buds. You're talking about the tasting of the soul, because that's what the spirit connects to. Okay, next. Do the five spiritual senses increase? Not only do they increase with use, but they mature with use. And so according to Hebrews 5:11, I think it is, it says that our senses mature with use. And so they will increase and they will mature. Here's another question. How do we know what we are smelling? What do we do with that? Every time you have a discernment from the Lord by revelation, revelation most often requires interpretation. You see, there's three stages to receiving from the Lord. The first is revelation, the second is interpretation, and the third is application. And so when you receive a revelation through the five senses, there needs to be an interpretation. And how do I activate it? How do I act on this? What do I do? All three stages require you going to the Lord. That's what's so beautiful about the wisdom of God, is that he has set it up for us perfectly so that we will know how to respond by drawing close to him. So at every stage, you just draw close to him. Ask him, Lord, what does this mean? Give me some insight into this, and then wait on him to speak to you. Here's another question. Is that sensitivity the same as Jesus being moved with compassion? Yes. When he's moved with compassion, he's feeling it. He's touched by your need. And so that is one of the senses. Okay, next. Is the heavenly sound different in other countries? I don't know. I mean, obviously, if God is going to speak to a person in China, he's going to speak to them with Chinese language. If he speaks to someone in England, he'll speak to them in the English language. So in that way, it's different sounds. He will speak to you. You will hear things most of the time, according to your psychological makeup. He knows what something means to you. And so he will release sounds or speak to you according to what he knows you will understand. So in that way, if you're in another country, he would maybe release sounds that are familiar to you in that nation. Maybe there's certain instruments that certain countries have that other countries don't have that might mean something to you, and that he will allow you to hear the sound of that instrument. So I hope I answered that in the way, I hope I understood the question right. And our final question that we'll answer today, but again, we just want to encourage you, send in your questions to questions@xpmedia.com. And if your question wasn't answered through these ones, we will try to get to you. We'll try our best on that. But this question is there a list of fragrances and their meanings? This is a great question. I'm not sure if there is actually a book on fragrances alone and what they mean, but there are many books available on symbolisms, that when God speaks to you in different symbols, it could be sounds or words, animals, colors, fragrances and things, that there are corresponding meanings to those fragrances or those symbols. So there are books specifically that you can get, or symbol cards that you can get, especially for dream interpretation, that might help you somewhat with that. But I think that the very best, totally, by far, is to go directly to the Spirit of God. I appreciate all the different books on the symbolism, saying this color means this, this animal means that, this flower means this. They're helpful, and I say, by all means, get them and study them out. They're good. As long as you don't put yourself in a box and say, it only means that. I was sharing with a class just the other day, saying that when I was praying, especially a lot of deliverance over people, sometimes I would see an ace of spades in my mind's eye. It would be like a vision in my mind. And every time the Spirit of God showed me that ace of spades, I knew that it was a correlation to the spirit of death. And the reason is because God knew my psychological makeup. When I had been involved in the New Age previously, the Ace of Spades always spoke of death. So the Lord knew that, to me, Ace of Spades in my psychological makeup meant death, okay? So every time, so I knew that I had to cast the devil of death out of that person every time it showed up, and sure enough, they get set free from it. But to another person, if they had the Lord give them the vision of an ace of spades, it might mean a gambling issue. It might mean that the person is supposed to be delivered from something to do with gardening, or maybe that they are a gardener because a spade working a garden. So it depends on how you understand it. God will speak to you specifically in a unique way that is unique to you, because He knows the way that you think. Amen. I know that God has really got oil on this whole subject of spiritual senses, and He wants you to grow in all of your spiritual senses. He wants you to be able to move into the seen dimension and the unseen dimension simultaneously. It's called bilocation, to be able to live in two realms at the same time. For example, we are in the earth, but we're also in heaven. It says that we're seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. So often as believers, we think that we're earthlings trying our hardest to get into that realm of heaven. But in fact, that the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a heavenly being, and you're living now in the earth. So you are a heavenly being living in the earth. As a heavenly being, you are able to sense things in the Spirit. And you have five spiritual senses that correlate to your five natural senses. May you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as those senses get opened up and activated in you in very precious and beautiful ways. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this webinar that we brought to you. And again, we have many more coming up that are planned. You're going to enjoy them. They're great teachings. They'll feed your spirit. And I want to encourage you again, if you're not a premium member yet, sign up as one today. It's only $9.99 a month, and you will get every single webinar that we do on these monthly webinars, sometimes even up to two and three in a month, that you will get for all free, plus all the archives. And there's been some really good ones. We've got, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. We've got the one on lack. We've got the one on finding your mate. I mean, all different kinds of subjects, and how to work with your visions, and and how to cultivate dreams. I mean, we've got so many of them online for you. And so $9.99 a month, premium membership, and that $10 a month, which is, you know, just a couple of cups of coffee a month is all, but it makes such a difference to supporting Christian media. And would you please pray for us as we're building media and the distribution of media? We want to fill the whole earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And your help and support is, you know, we are so grateful.